In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Question 192. What are the chief spiritual works of mercy? The chief spiritual works of mercy are seven: to admonish the sinner, to instruct the ignorant, to counsel the doubtful, to comfort the sorrowful, to bear wrongs patiently, to forgive all injuries, to pray for the living and the dead. The spiritual works of mercy are acts of love toward our neighbor to help him in needs, or in the needs of his soul. And since the soul is far more important than the body, the spiritual works of mercy are far more important than the corporal works of mercy. These are sometimes called fraternal corrections, that is, the first one, to admonish the sinner. In an act of love, to try and make another realize how bad sin is. This might be done by trying to keep him out of sin, or an occasion of sin, by trying to get him to confession afterwards. In cases where we think it might make him worse, we do not correct him directly. We can let him know indirectly, though especially by our example, that we do not approve of his actions. Again, sometimes this is called fraternal correction. A word of warning: don't correct unless you have a real chance of succeeding. In other words, if you find that you are driven by anger, it has little chance of succeeding. If you have a chance, then choose the means best fitted. It might be a phone call, might be face-to-face conversation, might be a letter. But remember, this is for sins, not for faults. As St. Paul said, we are to bear with one another's faults. Number two, to instruct the ignorant. It is an act of love to help others in one way or another to learn the truths they need to know in order to save their souls. And we need to instruct humbly. Now, how we do these things, all the works of mercy is crucial. One can instruct the ignorant, in other words, being quite proud about it, boasting of one's knowledge about the faith, and that won't help a bit. Number three, to counsel the doubtful. It is an act of love to help others to be certain about what they should do to love and serve God. For example, answering questions about eating meat for lunch on Ember Days. Now, that particular example is a little bit out of date, but in the traditional rite, we still observe the Ember Days. They're important. They're good. And refraining from eating meat on Ember Days, that is a good thing. So we need to have an idea of where can we go for an answer if someone asks us a question. And with things like the internet and access to the catechism, or any, even several of the catechisms which I have mentioned, you have an idea at least where to start. Number four, to comfort the sorrowful. It is an act of love to help another person in any kind of sorrow, and to refrain from doing anything that would unnecessarily cause another person more sorrow. In this one, I love that phrase of St. Paul's, weep with those who weep. Number five, to bear wrongs patiently. It is an act of love to accept the consequences of another's thoughtlessness or carelessness, and to suffer inconveniences which another should bear. I would even say this can be a great act of love, to bear wrongs patiently. Number six, to forgive all injuries. It is an act of deep love to forgive all those who have injured us in any way, even deliberately. Christ demands that his followers have great love and forgiveness for one another, in imitation of his own forgiveness of his enemies as he hung on the cross. And notice what it says, to forgive all injuries. All of them? Yes, that's what it says. That is the act of love. That is the spiritual work of mercy. If we do not forgive, and there's much at stake with this, then we will not be forgiven. That does not mean withholding justice, that if somebody have done something gravely wrong, then they need to receive justice. But forgiving them, that too is crucial. Both the individual and the common good demand the justice and need the forgiveness. Number 7, to pray for the living and the dead. We have already seen how our sharing in the communion of saints demands that we pray for everyone. This is a great means of spreading the fires of love to others, whether in this world or in purgatory. And how often should we pray for the living and the dead? St. Paul says, always. In that sense, all day long, when we get up to the end of the day, we should be praying for others. Question 193. Is everyone obliged to perform the works of mercy? The answer is yes. Everyone is obliged to perform the works of mercy according to his own ability and the need of his neighbor. We must remember, too, that our neighbor is like everyone, even our enemies, which means those we do not like. Notice, according to his ability. This means, amongst other things, one's state of life. If you are, for example, a mother with little children, well, they come first. You have to take care of them first. We don't want to be Rumpelstiltskins out of this and go attend to the needs of others and ignore those of our own family. Question 194. Are all the ordinary deeds done every day to relieve the corporal or spiritual needs of others true works of mercy? The answer is yes. All the ordinary deeds done every day to relieve the corporal or spiritual needs of others are true works of mercy done in the name of Christ. Doing them in the name of Christ means doing them for the love of Christ. It is really loving him in the members of his mystical body. He himself has said, of all these actions done to help others, as long as you did it for one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it for me. In other words, what's happening here is a conscious decision to do it for the sake of Christ. And this can be made at the beginning of the day in the morning offering, which, among other reasons, shows us the importance, I think, just how important making a good morning offering is every day.